Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
Here is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful than we've ever understood. And that's a paraphrasing from Marianne Williamson's Our Deepest Fear. She goes on to say that it is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine. As children of God, we were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in it is our light that shines, that gives others permission for their light to shine. And as we do so, we are liberated from our own fear, and our presence automatically liberates others. So who are you not to shine, not to recognize that you are beautiful, brilliant, fabulous, and all the magnificence that has been implanted in your very soul? And speaking of soul, this program is about Beauty Shop for the Soul. And the poem that I was just sharing was made famous by Nelson Mandela in his inaugural speech, when he became the president of South Africa. And so many people around the world attributed that poem to Nelson Mandela. But actually, it was written by Marianne Williamson, who is quite, I'll put in quotes, an authority on A Course in Miracles. And she teaches that around the planet. Currently, she is also campaigning for a Department of Peace, healing of the planet. So this is not so much about Marianne Williamson as it is about the peace of our own souls. That's what Beauty Shop for the Soul is really all about. Because when we are experiencing anything that is less than our true essence, if we are experiencing fear, doubt, disbelief, anger, resentment, revenge, regret, remorse, and it goes on and on and on. If we are anything except the essence with which we were created from and which we were born with, albeit there are things that happen from the moment of conception that distort essence of life, even so, we are here to make manifest the glory of God, as it says in Marianne Williamson's poem, Our Greatest Fear. So how do we make manifest the glory of God in our lives? We first have to know that this glory exists in us. It's not just in some of us. It's in all of us. And so on a personal basis, no one ever told me that, and most of the people that I knew growing up with had never heard of such a thing. I wish I had heard it early on in life. It could have saved a lot of frustration, a lot of heartache. Oh, my gosh. All of the things. And so, you know, today I was sharing with someone, when I was a child, I grew up in a Protestant church, and there were, in the neighborhood, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, there were many different kind of churches, and you knew without going inside what the denomination was by what you could hear on the outside. You didn't have to sit in a sanctuary to understand, and there was no right or wrong, so I'm not suggesting that. But what I am observing and noticing is that for now, the last, I'll say, few decades, sort of nomadic in my development, you could say, of my the spiritual dimension or aspect of myself. And so I often visit different denominations. And once, so just today, I was in three different locations on the same day. And so what I have observed is that if there was not a sign on the outside, when I enter in to the inside and sit in the sanctuary, whether I see a priest with a gorgeous robe on, or whether I'm in a Protestant church and there are various denominations of Protestants, not to mention that even within the same church, in the same sanctuary, same message is not, it's transmitted by one person, but received by the many. Just like it is in the global universe, there's only one truth, and that truth is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniactive. But since we have been endowed with this potential and this ability to choose who and what we shall serve, we grow through the process of making errors. In other words, missing the mark. And what would that be? Missing the mark of the high calling, and what would that be? And if we keep asking ourselves the questions, there's a part of ourselves that has the answer that's been concealed by all the many experiences that we have over a lifetime. When we don't think we know, strongly believe that we don't know, but there's always, always a part of us that knows and knows that it knows and is willing to reveal itself to us, through, and the only way it can do it is through us. Hence, Beauty Shop for the Soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is not just for someone who's having a frightening or traumatic experience. It is for anyone who recognizes that we live in an infinitely abundant universe, and that in this infinite abundance, no matter how exceedingly well we are doing, that there's so much more to do, to be, and to have, and we can do, we can be, and we can have. We start out by being and then by doing. Of course, we've been doing the reverse. We often do and then look back at how it's just been. But I'd like to suggest and use Shout for the Soul that we start with the being that we were created to be. It's like a holograph, and every single cell in our body is a divine and perfect pattern. And this pattern is like the cornerstone. You know, in the scriptures, when they talk about the cornerstone that the builders rejected, it was, you know, the builders, that exists in each of us as well. That rejection is simply from a form of ignorance. That means just not knowing, not understanding, and, of course, in a lot of cases, maybe not caring. But still, it exists on the inside of us. And so, if the cornerstone is not exact and precise, the foundation that is built upon it will only be as strong as the structure that's built upon the foundation that comes from the cornerstone will only be as exact as the cornerstone. So when we are missing the mark, and what is missing the mark? Missing the mark of the high calling is the sin. And then we say, what is sin? Of course, there's a traditional belief in what sin is. And then there is the Aramaic explanation, which is just to miss the mark. Miss the mark of the high calling. A sin is an archery term. And so when an archer shots at the bull's eye and missed, they sin. And when we are aiming to be the utmost that we were created to be in an optimum way, when we are off target, and now we go back to the list that I started out with, fear, doubt, disbelief, resentment, regret, remorse, revenge, so forth and so on. So if you want to take each one of those words and then consider the polar opposite of each one of them, so that this is the model, like it says in, I think it's Proverbs, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And as we began then to, before we act, we are just being what we were created to be, a dynamic, fabulous, beautiful, gorgeous, talented person, being. We are here to explore our spiritual magnificence, not to find it. It's already embedded on the inside of us. How then do we release it? Take a deep breath. And begin now to allow yourself to feel what has been already implanted on the inside of us. So we are here, actually, in this, the inward journey of Dr. Howard Thurman, who was a mentor for Martin Luther King Jr., who, of course, developed the whole movement around nonviolence. Not that there weren't role models before him, but he put it so well. How to stand in the face of adversarial conditions and people and maintain a sense of peace. It requires a cultivation of what? Your soul. And we are here to make manifest the glory of God in the land of the living. Beauty Shop for the Soul is one of the ways that we can do that. So we have to transcend the way that we've been trained in most cases, in many cases, and most of us never discover it until after decades of training, which means we have become entrenched in a way that does not serve our highest good. And in a way, that could be misleading when we are, in fact, achieving some degrees and level of success. But if you look at your life, the garden of your life, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, financially, creatively, all of these other ways, then you can begin to see where the imbalances are. And if there's any one of those places out of balance, then you sin, which is to say miss the mark. That's all it is. So we began to develop a language that's conducive to transcending the way that we have been showing up in the world. It is to bring into harmony that aspect of our lives that appear to be an illusion, just like darkness is an illusion. When you walk into a room that's dark and you flip the switch, the light immediately comes on and dispels the darkness. When the light comes on inside of us, it was already there, and it's always available for us to flip the switch. When we flip the switch, the things that we thought we saw in the darkness began now to take on your true essence begins to rise. So that we're no longer operating from the position of fight or flight as it was back in the very, 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 very olden days when the saber-toothed tiger existed, so that it was basically the men who were out to fight to protect the family. And so the options that were understood during those days were either fight or flight. But then we discovered over time, as we have evolved in consciousness, that there are other options as well. And what are those? Fight or flight? In my family, we were taught not to fight, that is, to initiate a fight, but we were also taught that we better not run if someone else instigated a fight. We were taught to defend ourselves. And on a global level, we can see this happening around the world as countries gear up in defense, war departments everywhere, which does not solve the problem. it comes from a place of fear. And so when we're having to conquer something outside of ourselves, we're actually coming from a sense of separation. And so this reminds me of a comment today. I was in one of the group settings that I was in. A woman mentioned that she has been a truth seeker all of her life. And in fact, she's still seeking truth. And I was just quietly listening to the dialogue between a couple of the people there. And they talked for a few minutes. I was silent. And then I was specifically asked what my thought was about it. And so I shared what I think is that, from what I understand in my years of being a truth student, that everything that we need is on the inside of us. There have been many books written by very enlightened people, much more so than I am, but not more so than I trust that I am in the becoming of. And it was Jesus Christ himself said, anything that I can do, you can do, and even greater. So why would an enlightened being as Jesus the Christ, everyone, the highest state of consciousness that we know that anyone has achieved, he basically was saying, it's open at the top, it's not over, that whatever you see me do, you can do an even greater, but this is the way. This is the way, the truth, and the light. So he came to show us, and so if you go back to that list that you made of the things that pull us off center, the anger, the fear, the hatred, the doubt, the disbelief, the revenge, the regret, the remorse, and go now to the polar opposite of those things. And you'll have love and peace and joy, wholeness, wellness, and oneness, and all of those things. And in order to relate, go back to an experience, I remember when my last child was born, and I choose this one, and not over the other two that preceded her, but because I was fully awake during the birthing process with her and with the other two, if I had only known how powerful it was immediately after birth, I would definitely have chosen to have all three the same way. But I have to say that I myself was operating under the illusion of pain, and I did feel the pain, but then I've come to learn that the pain that we feel is not inherent in the birthing process. It's inherent in the way that this birthing process has been given to us and passed down through the ages. As I was listening to Abraham Hicks, someone asked him about why, labor pains were so hard and difficult. And the example that Abraham, who is non-physical being that worked through Esther Hicks, they were in the original version of The Secret, he says, or they say, have you ever seen a dog give birth to puppies? And, of course, the person said yes. And they asked, did you hear it make a sound? And the person said no. So Abraham clarified from their perspective, that's the way that the birthing process is. It's not the actual process. And so then I, of course, since then have met a few women who have actually gone through the birthing process and had a different experience because they had a different orientation than the orientation that I had and didn't even know I had it until as I look back on it. And then hindsight is always perfect. But with my third delivery, the part that I wanted to clarify was I did have excruciating pain, and it lasted. It started on a Saturday, and my daughter was not born until Sunday, so there were many, many hours and all through the night, and I won't go into the details of what happened. But what I do know was that in those last moments, just before she made this grand entrance, I was at a point where I thought that I could not, it was really unbearable, the pain that I was feeling, and then wham, she shot out, and I shot straight into bliss. nothing like I had ever felt before or even since. And so I understood now, without having the words, hadn't been exposed to Beauty Shout for the Soul and other approaches to enlightenment. I had, yes, on some levels, but as I mentioned before, we are multidimensional beings, and so we're here to make manifest. As we take on the consciousness that Christos, which is the higher consciousness, we begin, the more we understand, the greater lives we begin to live. And so as we go through these various aspects of our lives, there's nothing challenging about being happy when everything is coming up roses. Everyone actually wants to be happy, but most of us have no clue on how to be happy, and we attribute our unhappiness to other people, to other circumstances and other conditions outside of ourselves. Right now, there's a video that's gone viral around the world. And if you haven't seen it, you can Google Farrell, spelled H-A-R-R-E-L-L. And, of course, the video is on YouTube. See the interview that Oprah Winfrey conducts with him on her Super Soul Sunday show. Everyone is amazed that this video has gone viral. And what is the name of it? Happy. Happy is the name. Just one happy. But people are happy all over the world and in places like Portugal, in Slovakia, in Germany, in England, oh my gosh, in Detroit, in the Caribbean, just Taiwan, in Asia, in Africa. There are people that have, as Farrell said, the video was released, and in a matter of just a couple of weeks, it was no longer his song. The song belongs to the world, as the world has taken up this banner, and they are having their own versions. They are not taking his song away. They have internalized this song because it resonates with something on the inside of them. There's a law of resonance. And so when we are operating from fear, anger, doubt, disbelief, and all those other things that I mentioned, the law is still at work. It's just increasing our experience of fear, doubt, and disbelief, and whatever else we're hanging out in. That would be the faulty cornerstone that we built a foundation and then a structure that goes up even higher than the foundation. And then it cannot withstand the storms of life. So metaphysically, everything has a significance. And as this woman asked me for my understanding of truth, truth, where she said that she had been seeking truth and wanted to know what I thought, my understanding of that is, you see, we need to have a language, just like if you wanted to be a nurse, you have to understand the medical terminology. In fact, I used to teach at a community college, and they had a class, medical terminology, the same thing they had for legal terminology. You have to know the language in order to understand the profession in which you find yourself operating in. And then, of course, you want to be sure that you're operating in a field of passion. But basically what I'm getting to is the word seek itself. Now, what does seek mean to you? And by the way, if you want to just explore some of this by sharing your own experience, number one, if you're live here today, and you can dial your friends on the same number you dial, 646-200-4169, have them participate in this. But to seek anything at all, underlying that, and there's always something underlying something, which is why medical doctors have written books like Who's the Matter with You? I have such a book where a doctor spent many years and initially for the first couple of decades would ask patients as they came, what's the matter? But discovered after 20 years or so, it never was a what. It was always a who. And sometimes a who is us. It is something, and in fact, I guess we could safely say it's always us. Back to the language. To seek suggests on some level that there's a sense of separation from us, between us and the whatever it is we're seeking, whether it's truth, and how could truth reside only outside of us? Yes, it is outside of us, but it is everywhere present. It is an aspect of the infinite, and where is the infinite and the eternal, but permeating anything and everything throughout all of existence, which means it's on the inside of us, which is why we get happy when we something touches our soul, when something resonates in our soul. We feel happy, and the same thing happens when we feel. So it's not to say that we should not have and should. I put that in quotation marks as well, because we have life experiences that make us, that trigger these emotions in us. But as we become, as we evolve, or we begin to understand that we have within us the ability and the potential to transcend circumstances. And so we're building, as we go through this road of life, a spiritual toolkit. And just like any carpenter or like any gardener, if you know the right tool to use for the particular circumstance to be refined or cultivated, then it will better work. You know, sometimes I have a piece of furniture and the legs wobble every now and then. And so sometimes I take a butter knife and I tighten it up. But sometimes it doesn't work as well because I'm not using the right tool. I need a Phillips screwdriver, and I actually have one, but I just didn't bother to get it. But sometimes when the butter knife doesn't work, then it lets me know that I need to kick it up a notch and pull out the tools that apply to it. So in the same way, when you are experiencing some sort of dis-ease or even disease, which ultimately manifests and outpictures from an extended period of time of repeated encounters that generate our happiness, is the way we see ourselves in the world is conditioned for our happiness, our thoughts for the condition for our happiness, the cause, I'll get it right in a minute, give me a second, our thoughts are the cause of our thoughts are the cause of our happiness and the condition of happiness for everybody else on the planet. The same thing is true of unhappiness. Our thoughts are the cause of our unhappiness and the condition of happiness for everybody else on the planet. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of Science of the Mind, and many others, he wasn't the first to say it, I don't believe, and he always acknowledged that he just studied the major, major religions of the world and culminated those in what he called religious science. And religion itself in its original terms meant tying back, you know, to spirit. So we all have this opportunity when we're feeling dis-ease to recognize that we're headed away from the thing that we really want. And if we want to experience the thing that we desire, then we need to make a little U-turn and stop paddling upstream the grain and turn around and allow the stream to carry us, because the stream has that ability. When we can sit back, relax, and let go and be guided, because everything that we could ever want is already there waiting on us to let go. And so, you know, recently, a few months ago, was this movie, Frozen. And I've seen clips of it. I've not seen the whole thing. But what I get from it, and I've talked with other people about it, it's actually a cartoon kind of movie. But everything has an underside or a spiritual significance or understanding about it. And so in this movie called Frozen, Walt Disney, this is a Disney movie, and Walt Disney himself was told by one of his teachers in high school that he had no imagination. Imagine someone telling Walt Disney that he had no imagination, but maybe that's where what took root that day, something sprung up in him that was awakened in him, so that at some point he began not only to allow the imagination that was already on the inside of him to surface and rise up, and so that he began then to not only use that imagination, but has built a worldwide organization and actually has a department of Imagineers. Imagine that. Imagineers. But we're all Imagineers. And what is an Imagineer? Someone that uses their imagination. So I would ask you, how are you using your imagination? Are you manifesting things in your life and all these different stratifications with your finances, with your creativity, in your relationships, in your health, in your whatever the social environment, all of those things, whatever is showing up is an outpicturing of an aspect of ourselves. And so Charles Fillmore was given, just like I would imagine, of course, in Miracles was given to a couple of people. They didn't create it. They just transcribed it as it was given to them, and there have been many sacred writings. So according to Fillmore, there is an energy center, a power center within us, the ganglionic nerves that are throughout the body, and they govern certain aspects. And so when in the scriptures, when you look at the 12 disciples, each of these disciples represented not only the physical location in the body, but the spiritual trait or characteristic that corresponds with that trait. And so when we look at imagination, there's a spot that is right behind the eyes. And, you know, there's one of the disciples that is directly related to that was Bartholomew. And so in the New Testament, and of course everything that's pretty much in the New Testament is also in the Old Testament. And when you look at the, Joseph was one that used his imagination. So this is one of the things that we can begin to look at and see. And if your imagination is fighting you, then you, we, us, are coming from what? A place of fear. And as it was in the scriptures with Job, the things we fear the most come upon us. We make manifest that law and Lord are synonymous there, because it's always at work and it never questions what we give it. What we consciously put into the subconscious mind begins now to take root, always recording, no matter whether you sleep or awake. If you get knocked out, you consciously don't know what's happening during the time you're actually blacked out. But the subconscious is recording every scene, every color, every sound, every feeling, all of this. And this is what the GIs who experience post-traumatic stress syndrome experience as they return back from conflicts of war. But you don't have to be in the military to have that kind of experience. It can actually occur now, they're telling us, the scientists, or Dr. Candace Kirk, who recently in the past year made her transition, was one of the authorities on this subject about the impact of, from the moment of conception, how when there's a trauma that occurs in utero or even from conception, that it affects the fetus as we move through life. And here we come with no conscious clue, but subconsciously is all recorded in the very sequence. The subconscious never, ever sleeps. So in Beauty Shop for the Soul, when we began to, first of all, just make a decision that where you are is not where you want to dwell, in other words, live for the rest of your life, even though it may be an enjoyable place to be. There's so much more available to you in your spiritual magnificence. And so as I spoke to the lady today, the group actually, but the question was directed to me about, I was sharing, and I mentioned healing, and there are various levels of healing, physical, mental, and emotional, and we can have a physical healing, but generally it suggests a cure and it's temporary. The most profound healing often is called a miracle, but it's own personal experience, I used to, well, I had surgery many years before for hemorrhoids. And so what I said was, you know, if you have hemorrhoids, you could go and medically have them removed, but if you didn't get to the cause of the stress or strain that caused the hemorrhoids in the first place, they could simply come back. Now, that doesn't mean that they will, but chances are, and it may not come back in the next 6 months or 6 years. It could be 10 years or 20 years. And so there was another person in the group that said a thing about being having hemorrhoids that's spiritual. But if you think for one moment that you can separate that part of yourself that's spiritual from the part of yourself that's physical, think again. We are multidimensional, complicated beings. We have not only the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual aspect of us, we have an energy field that is not just one element there, that there is a body around us of energy for the spiritual, the physical, the mental, the emotional. I'm told that there's seven, and I've seen the images of that, and sometimes I even see an aura around some people, not all the time. One of these, now they don't always look the same. For example, if you think about the color green, you probably have heard it associated with anger, or green with envy is one of the expressions. But green also is associated with abundance. It's associated with prosperity. And so each one of the colors has a significance, and each one of those personality traits that I mentioned, like imagination, and there are 12 of them. And so when the guy said, I don't see anything spiritual about hemorrhoids, oh, yeah, there's a spiritual significance. And what would hemorrhoids be? What I came to understand through my own direct experience was that hemorrhoids itself, or constipation, and Fillmore talked much about this, and so did Louise Hay. And in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, there's a chart in there. But I learned from my own direct experience that it's about holding on to something that doesn't serve you. It's literally what happens when you have constipation or hemorrhoids. But there's a spiritual significance. You could be holding on mentally and emotionally. Emotionally, you could be holding on to a relationship that doesn't serve you and perhaps maybe whomever else you're involved with. Mentally, you could have some thoughts that are not in alignment with your highest good. You can do, every now and then you see on television people who have wall-to-wall clutter. So we have all of these things going on, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and so forth and so on in our lives. It's all a part of who we are. And as long as it goes unattended, then chances are it's going to build and build, and as it builds, it becomes congealed. And then we are unable to see through this wall that we have built before us. Nor can anyone else see it or penetrate it. But as we began to explore the inward journey, in other words, as we began to discover that it is not someone else outside of us that's causing our discomfort, it is something that is on the inside of us. And as we begin not to look for what is wrong, but to look for what is right, because what is right is deeply embedded in you. There is a divine and perfect pattern on the inside of you. And because we've been endowed with this ability to be all that we were created to be, which is to say, made in the image and likeness of love, from love, by love, to love and be love, when we come from not conditional, conditional is what we often do. I will love you if. And we don't have to verbalize it. We can look at our lives and see exactly what that's about. Another personal experience that I've had, and one day you'll see it in a book, Beauty Shop for the Soul, was that I discovered while I was living on another continent, in another country, I had some what they medically described as crystallization in the breast. And eventually, as they became enlarged, it was recommended medically that I have a biopsy. And so I began asking, because I had been by then introduced to the study of truth, eternal verities. And what is true is eternal. There's no changing. When we look at the universe, when we look at, and we recognize that many people call what I'm talking about is beyond a denomination. It's beyond a religion. It's beyond even language. But we do use language to communicate. And so in this communication process, this is where we begin to, of the words that we choose and what we say and how we say it, it's not just the words, it is the tone in which we speak. It is the body language that communicates what it is we are saying, so that even before you open your mouth, people have a sense, as I was starting to say from Ernest Holmes, we are like radio broadcasting stations, and the energy that resonates from us goes out before us. And it doesn't always make smooth and joyous and harmonious the way it does when we are aligned with our true essence. But there are other times when we're coming from the opposite side of the coin, and people pick that up as well. In the same way that we pick that up, we meet somebody for the first time, and there's a little something of discomfort on the inside of us that says, be still, be still. And as we become still, divine guidance and that direction will be revealed to us. As the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else is added unto us. And so I discovered more than one time, which means that I didn't fully learn the lesson the first time. You know, we teach what we need to learn. And so 20 years later, after I had the hemorrhoid surgery, they began to come back. But this time, shortly after, the revelation came of what I was doing that was out of alignment with the truth of who I was. And then the thing that I just mentioned about the breath, I began asking, because now at that point in my life I understood that there is this wisdom that one of the aspects of God is the truth, of course, and light and love. And as Myrtle Fillmore explains in her healing process more than 100 years ago, as she had a light bulb moment and then began to commune with spirit and began to ask guidance and direction, she began to have it, and a healing occurred that was beyond the medical explanation. She had been told that she would not be on the planet more than 6 months, and instead it was 40 years. So I began to ask the question, what is my body, in particular my breath revealing, trying to reveal to me? And so I had a dream prior to the date of the scheduled surgery. And the dream basically told me what I needed to know. It said, you don't feel appreciated. I'm putting, sort of condensing this, giving you the shorter version. You don't feel appreciated. And I didn't feel appreciated. It doesn't mean that the person that I didn't feel appreciated by didn't appreciate me. My perception of them was that they didn't appreciate me. And I'm specifically talking about my children. Well, they were not rude and impolite. They were well-mannered. They were well-trained by me. But I was at a very early age for them divorced, and so I took on a huge responsibility of working, and I wanted my children to not only finish high school but to go to college and get degrees and so forth and so on. So I realized that I needed to model that behavior myself. And so in addition to working, I often worked two jobs. And all the tension was, by the time my oldest child graduated from high school, that I would have a degree. So that I didn't, I wouldn't be coming from, I think you ought to have. I'm demonstrating what I think they ought to have. And so my goal for myself was to obtain a degree by the time my oldest child got his high school diploma. And so I met that goal by working two part-time jobs and often by taking 16 units a quarter. And I had three children. And I was also the coach for the cheerleaders. That seems like a lot. And I was told by one of the counselor that it was not even possible that I would flunk everything, and I have to say that was like, my God, using a witch fertilizer for me, because it was a catalyst, a motivator for me to demonstrate the potential and power, not of myself. And in fact, I had been informed by someone who was a teacher and a mentor to me that I could align myself with this infinite intelligence that would reveal to me what I needed to know and understand in terms of the classes, the testing, and et cetera. And so I'm happy to say that not only did I receive a degree at the same year, and we had a celebration together when my oldest got his diploma, I actually went back later, a year later, and got a higher degree. And so this is the same thing that Beauty Shop for the Soul is about. It is teaching me up the reading that I started out with in the beginning from Marianne Williamson that says our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful, that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I, to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous, and beautiful. Actually, who are you not to be? And so in Beauty Shop for the Soul, we get to discover what are our thought processes. How have we been using it? You're always having thoughts, whether they're spoken or not, and your body hears every word you say. One of the neuroscientists says your immune system eavesdrops on your thinking, on your thoughts, on what you say. And then I have hanging on my wall in this very room, it's a quote from, who is it, Edison, that says, I think you can or think you cannot. Either way, you will be right. Think you can or think you cannot, and either way, you will be right. And so as we begin to look at the issues of life, you'll discover that, you know, many times say, well, I had no choice. Of course you have a choice. No matter how severe or how egregious a behavior has been that's been perpetuated seemingly against us or something is done to us, when we perceive that it's done to us, we're playing the role of the victim. So we are not born to be victim. We are born to be victorious. And by aligning ourselves with the presence and power of the universe, one with God is a majority. Now, it doesn't matter whether you say God, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Alludamori. Remember that what we're talking about is the presence and power of the universe that's greater than we are, and we can use it. It's available to us 24/7. And so as we begin to explore and look at how are we using this marvelous, magnificent computer, the brain that we have, what are we doing? How are we doing this? And how can we refine this process and download something more wonderful? And why I should probably say upload instead of download, because it's already there. So what we're doing is dissolving and dissipating anything and everything that vibrationally doesn't resonate with the truth of our being. We are learning to just let go and let God. And so back to what do hemorrhoids have to do with being spiritual? One of the 12 aspects of God, as in Charles Fillmore's book, The 12 Powers of Man, is renunciation. And so what is renunciation? Take a moment and think about it. When something is renunciated, and remember that you are a multi-dimensional being. So when you think of hemorrhoids, of course, we go to the physical thing. It means that there's a physical experience of pain, and it affects our ability to release solid waste from our body. But solid waste is not the only waste, not the only toxins that appear in our body. We have mental, emotional, physical toxins in our body. If you're angry all the time, then you're having some emotional toxins there. And what precedes that feeling is a thought. And the thought is the mental aspect of who we are. You are so fabulously made. You are so multidimensional. So whenever something is happening, begin to explore. Of course, it works wonderfully to work with someone on this exploration of life. But you can't, one with God is a majority. You can ask the higher self of you for revelation, for spiritual insight and discernment. And if you don't get an immediate answer, just allow that the wall has been dense enough and high enough that it may take more than once. Someone asked Ernest Holmes at one time, how many treatments, treatment is prayer in religious science or science of the mind, how many prayer treatments does it take in order to have a healing? And Holmes said one. It may be the 100th, but it only takes one. Now, that's not the same with everyone, and it won't be the same with the same person every time. Just like every delivery is different, if you had more than one pregnancy and delivery, nothing, no two things are alike, no two snowflakes, no two leaves on any of the trees. So everything is uniquely different, and yet much of our frustration comes from an expectation that someone operated outside of our expectation, that we thought that because we think a certain way and we act, I'm talking we as an individual here, that other people who think and act differently, that there's something wrong with that. But usually I suggest that when you have your next experience, and there will be a next, because that's how you know you're still growing, opportunities to stretch beyond the old paradigm and to tap into that place and space that is really not foreign. It's just because we have been endowed with this marvelous, magnificent ability to turn away from the illusions of the world into the deep, deep, phantomless root of our being. And so one of the places that we can tap into is the heart center. And just as you would imagine, the heart center is the place, the center for love. And there's a set of ganglionic nerves right behind the heart center. And the disciple that was recruited by the Christ, by Jesus the Christ, is John. And John represents love. And the center for love is in the heart. But John had a brother, and John's brother was James, and together they were called the sons of Zebedee. James represents wisdom, and so that combination of wisdom and love, so as you would imagine, the closeness of brothers is the solar plexus, and solar means sun, and which is also related to wisdom, and there's a deep connection between wisdom and love. And so when we are loving without wisdom, we are imbalanced there and missing the mark of the high calling. And when we are using wisdom without love, same thing, we're missing the mark. It is a connection symbolically between wisdom and love, and there's this set of ganglionic nerves as well behind the solar plexus, so that there's a symbiotic relationship when there's a disease or discomfort that is felt in the solar plexus area. The origin may well be, according to medical doctors, in the heart. And conversely, when we have a discomfort in the heart center, it could be coming from the solar plexus area. So wisdom and love always go together. And as you read the scriptures about the journey that Jesus the Christ took, out of the 12 disciples, he took with him three everywhere he went. Now, the rest of them, he was there to, you know, some people talk about the disciples, but we all have the area of our personality that is yet to be cultivated, or that is not maybe as highly cultivated, and that was putting down the way, the truth, and the light, and showing us the same potential and possibility for ourselves. And so he took with him John and James, which is to say wisdom and love, and he took Peter. And what does Peter represent? Not all of us grew up reading scriptures, I know that. But for you that did, do you recall what Peter said, what Jesus said to Peter? You know, he talked about faith, and that's what Peter represents. And so as Jesus moved around, he took with him love, wisdom, and faith. Imagine what those things mean to you. How have you been using your faith? What have you been believing in that you've given more power to something or someone outside of yourself than you give to the presence and power of the infinite intelligence that is inside of you? What is in operation that is edging God out, which is to say your ego, our ego? And we all have some of that. And so as we began to explore these principles and explore and then apply them to our life situation, and then we too began to walk in faith with love and wisdom, all of these traits go together. Actually, when they are aligned and cultivated by that Christ consciousness, we have a new walk. We have a new talk, just as you would in Beauty Shop for the Soul. You do the assessment. You do the cleansing, the purification, the letting go, like in back with the movie Frozen. One of the popular songs is Let It Go, Let It Go, Let It Go. And so in Frozen, what is freeze? Imagine, you know, in that paradigm of fight or flight, there's another aspect of that, and that is to transcend, to rise above in consciousness the circumstances and conditions that made us want to run or to fight. So one of the aspects, of course, is to freeze, just like we played the game as children. When we would run and somebody would yell, freeze, and everyone became still. That's what happens when we become traumatized and fearful. We become immobile. So in the let it go, it is that renunciation, the letting go of the thought, the belief, and whatever it is that no longer serves you, that's renunciation on all levels, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. The thoughts that are out of alignment with the truth of our being, we're letting it go. So enjoy this day of resurrection, and I decree and declare for you that anything and everything that no longer serves you, that's the part to crucify. Let it die and let the dead past bury the dead and rise up again, because within you is anything and everything you need to be the great, grand, glorious, marvelous, magnificent, beautiful, fabulous being that you came to be. Have a fabulous week, and I'm going to look at next week.
Blog Talk Radio.
Earth Angel Radio is the authentic radio for living in our Thank you for listening to Beauty Shop for the Soul with host Joanne Buck.
Hey, how are you? Hello, Linda. Hi, Linda, how are you? What? Well, thank you. Are you from Moscow? Well, great. Well, wonderful. I'll look forward to meeting you the next time I'm in Moscow, and when you come to Las Vegas, give me a buzz. Oh, Teresa's been here? Yes. Wow. Well, thank you. So what did you take away any particular things from the program today that you enjoyed? Do you know what a shotgun house is? What do you think of? Go ahead. Let me just tell you what my understanding is, and I invite you to consider that. A shotgun house, I grew up in what they used to call. Now, you know, things change. Like a long time ago, what was cool was temperature. You know, we referred to something, but then cool became a way you looked, the way you walked, and all that stuff. And same thing with hot. And so the connotation of words changes. But when I was a kid, a shotgun house is a house where the front door, you know, you'd have the living room or the front room, and you'd have a bedroom and the dining room and the kitchen. And you could stand at one end of the house and shoot, and it would go straight through the house, you know, because that's the way they were lined up, the doors of the shotgun house. Okay, so the reason that I say that is when you look at when you think about the multidimensional aspects of yourself, which one is the greater one to you that you perceive it? Okay, and for what makes you feel that the emotional aspect is the greater part? Well, let me just say this, and the greater part of us doesn't change. There's absolutely no change. But have you noticed that when you feel something, that's your emotion, that's energy and motion, what you used to feel and how you used to act or react may not be the same today as it was 10 years ago. Could you relate to that? Probably in 10 more years, some of the things that you react to today, you won't be reacting to. You know, we see that a lot with parents and grandparents, and people often say, oh, when I was a kid, you didn't act like da-da-da-da-da, speaking to the mothers, because they see a difference. But we've changed over time. We began to see and understand in ways that we didn't see and understand before. So as life happens, we began to expand in consciousness. So the greater part is not changeable. It is infinite. It is eternal. And so that means it's always the same. So what part of you is infinite and eternal? Well, okay, you don't have to. I just wanted to, since I do appreciate you listening, and I just want to give you a little clue, and you can take it and run with it or not, but it's the spiritual dimension of you. Spirit is eternal and infinite, and whatever the aspects of us that are not, you know, all the other things are temporary. And so temporary is just what it says. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But the infinite part of us is just that, and that's the spiritual dimension. The soul doesn't die, you know, and the spirit is forever. And we are admonished to live by the spirit of the word and not the letter of the word or the law. Or us before we took on a body. And it exists when we shed a body. You can't shed the spirit, but you can allow it to be expressed more fully. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So the reason that I said it, the analogy for that is, think of all of these bodies that you have like a shotgun house. You work through the spirit and it'll shoot right through all the rest. But if you work from the lesser, you cannot move from the lesser to the greater. In other words, you know, you can have, as I don't know if you heard me talk about the hemorrhoids and I had a surgery, I had to have those removed. Okay, well, it won't stop them from coming back because we didn't get to the source. And so you always want to go to the source. The source is the spirit. That's the part of you that when you begin to work with that, you'll begin to feel better, look better, walk better, step higher, all of that stuff, because that's who you really are. Who you really are is beyond the physical, the mental, the emotional, and all that stuff. That's the ultimate lesson. Set down the number and call in again and listen and tell some other fans to listen. I would love to have it. And next time, push number one and talk to me. Wonderful. And oh my. Okay, what about a computer? Do you have a computer, Linda? Oh, okay, not yet. Well, okay, so. Well, more than, huh? Oh, okay. Wow. Well, what the only thing that you want to strip, actually, now these, remember, those are physical things that you're talking about. But what you really want to strip away is the fear, the doubt, the disbelief, the idea that you're separate from your good. You're not. And so the minute that we, and I'm speaking to myself, Linda, it just happens that you're on the other end of the phone. But we all have challenges, maybe not at the same level, maybe not the same particular area at the same time, but we all do go through that. And so there's power in numbers and et cetera. So the next time you find yourself having any thought of separation from what you want, then, as I was saying on that program, stop and think of whatever is the exact opposite of that. And then use that power of imagination that is a center in you, is right behind the eyes. Use it all the time. And you're using it when you see separation, lag, difficulty. That's what you're using. So you want to just transform that. And maybe it's challenging for you, so that's when you stop and ask, however you call it, the universe, God, Buddha, whatever you have that you call this thing, the power does, the universe doesn't care. It will respond to what you say. You know, so what you ask for, and before you call, that you've already activated something by the thought of it. But it takes some practice, so don't be hard on yourself. You know, just recognize that it's a process, and it's not a process for the universe or for God. It's a process for us, that we let go of what's serving us and allow this infinite intelligence that is always there to reveal to us. You'll start getting ideas that you never even thought about, and they will take you to the right people, places, and things, and ideas, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, well, it feels good, too, when you do it. So just take an area and don't overwhelm yourself. Just take an area and get a work on it, and you know, or work with it, not on it, and then take another one. And another one, and keep on doing it. Pretty soon you'll have so much fun just rebuilding yourself. You're not really building. You're just clearing off the dirt. You know, just like if you bought a field that hadn't been attended for a while, and then you have to clear the field in order to sow some new seeds. Well, kind of that way. But then you have to cultivate it. Yeah. So, anyway, blessings to you, infinite blessings. You're so welcome. Okay, so Miss Teresa. You know, no, they didn't. What time did you mail them, right after we talked, or was it a lot later? send a not email? Did you send a... Well, you know what, they weren't there. I did go to Office Depot, and not only were they not there at the time, but maybe I got there before you sent them. But I found out something. I was so shocked because I tried to, well, first of all, they weren't there. Remember I told you that I had sent some, but I wasn't sure. I knew that you could not go in on the web, but sometimes I try it anyway. And so when I couldn't get it on Hotmail, I went to Gmail because I put it there just to, you know, sort of a safeguard. And there was a pop-up, and it said that, because I went into the sent mail, and I rarely use Gmail. That's the one our beautiful souls, you know, kind of thing. Teresa, I was so shocked. There were a lot of pornographic things on there that I had no clue that had been deflected by whatever the security thing is to go into the sent mail on Gmail. I'm amazed. So I was in, and I shouldn't even have been looking at that, but I didn't know it. And I mean, it was really some, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so glad. They may think I'm reading this stuff, and I couldn't believe it. It was very descriptive. I'm like, I didn't open them up, just in the subject line. I wouldn't dare open them. I don't know why that's so funny. I said, oh, Lord, let me just hurry up and get off here, because I'm like, Lord, just let me get off here before they run me out of this place. I couldn't. And I just left church. I was not praying for that. wait a minute, they've been going on apparently for a while. Oh, my God. And so it said, we don't endorse that. And I'm like, oh, God, so they think I do, huh? But you know what happens? That's when you, you know, because I signed up for some of those free things, just like the one that we got. And somebody, the guy that worked on my computer before said, you know, when you sign up for free things, that's a word that pops up for a lot of people that are doing things like what I'm talking about. And then they just, you know, respond to it in some kind of way. So even though I know that part, but I have never seen, every blue moon had something that was inappropriate. But I'm telling you, that sent box on gmail.com was loaded. So I've got to, not only that, I need to talk to the people. Because then I said, well, that's why, remember I told you I'm not getting current stuff on Gmail? That's probably why. So I know some. Well, they went in, they were in, oh, wait a minute, maybe I went in my junk box, I'm sorry. They had directed it to the junk box. And sometimes I check it because sometimes in the junk box are very legitimate things. But see, like I said, I'm usually looking at junk on Hotmail.com. I rarely, because Gmail was dedicated for Beauty Shop for the Soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul. Boy, I need a lot of soul searching on that one. Yeah. Wow. I never would have known it if I hadn't been. Oh, my. Well, they didn't see it, and I hope that they didn't get a signal that gave them a red flag on my email address. Oh, my God, that would be like, you know, I told you about one time when I was a teenager, I told you, I was like 19, 20, I was married. And my sister-in-law, who was only less than 2 years older than I, but was way, way, way ahead of me in terms of worldly stuff. And so things she told me, I didn't believe her because I never heard of them before, so I thought she was just making up stuff. But I found out 10 years more before I discovered that one by one, everything she said was true. But I had none. I'm wondering, and I used to say to her, how do you know that? And she would just laugh. And So one time she gave me, I was going to the drugstore. And this drugstore was about a 12-minute walk from where we lived. She was staying with us because she was babysitting her sister's children. And her sister and her husband and George, my husband and I, we shared a house. And she was the babysitter for the sister. So I was going to the store, drugstore, and she said, bring me something back. And I said, okay. Well, she had asked me before for things, and I was not an issue. And she was babysitting, so she gave me the name, and it didn't ring a bell. And I said, well, you better write that one down because, you know, I'll forget that before I get to the drugstore. So she wrote it down. She didn't say anything. I didn't ask anything. So I get to the drugstore, and the pharmacist, I handed it to him. And when he looked down at it, then he looked at me, and the look on his face, I'm like, oh, God, I wonder what that is. You know, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. And so anyway, he sealed it out. Now, it wasn't a prescription required, but that's probably he thought, well, why would she just hand me the note? So anyway, he got out whatever it was, and he gave it to me. I couldn't wait to get outside to see what the hell it was. And when I opened it up, it was Qprex. I have not forgotten the name, and that's 50-some years ago, Qprex. And it was for life. And, you know, and I was, at that time, I was excited. I wasn't used to talking about anybody. And here I thought, my perception was that that man thought that I had that, and I was too embarrassed. Well, once I knew what it was, I was embarrassed. I had no clue and didn't even think about it. So I was walking home, and I was crying like a little kid, tears running down my face for about however long it took me to get home. And when I got back to the house, Catherine, my sister-in-law, was standing behind the door. And when and she knew that I didn't know. And when I opened the door, you know, I'm crying. I'm like, Catherine, why are you telling me the other? And she said, that's what you get for being so dumb. You shouldn't know better. So I couldn't believe it. I have never forgotten that. And all my son wasn't even born, and he's 56 years old. That's how long. And so that's one of the things that, you know, but I actually learned many, many things from that. And of course, she always says, she's deceased now, that she learned a lot from me. And I except the thing about it was that feeling that I saw on the computer today when I saw that, that was kind of like a kind of embarrassment, you know, that it was on my computer. I couldn't believe it. It was so much. And it made me think about that. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, my God, I could not believe it. It was just embarrassing, you know, and embarrassed for what? I hadn't done anything, but I was feeling that anyway. So that's part of that cleansing stuff that we're talking about, getting that out of the way. Yeah, you know. Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I just wanted to touch bases. It turns out that the guy that I do the other program, the WYEM Jam Chicago, he is leaving the area on Friday. So I need to have a couple of weeks at least ready tomorrow so that he can take them with him. And, of course, you know I haven't even started on them. And I'm not about to start as soon as I hang up. I'm about to chill out. And so, anyway, but between now and tomorrow, because not only do I have to have that ready, but he's going to come over here, and he started something that if I had, and looking back on it, I would not have done it because I thought it was going to improve the quality of the transmission, just like when you're hearing Beauty Shop for the Soul on my computer, you know, actually through my cell phone. It's not a high quality, even though this phone is not the cheapest in the world. Well, I thought he was going to do something to enhance that, like when I use his computer, his sound. What he has done here, how they cost me some money and he never did finish it. So he's coming tomorrow to finish that. But I don't understand how it's going to be connected to enhance this, but we'll see. Because otherwise, I feel like, see, he's a DJ. I'm not interested in that part of it. I was only interested in, you know, in having the quality improved and enhanced in doing the radio program because it makes a big difference. So we'll see. So tomorrow is the day for me to have several weeks, at least two is my intention, and by that time maybe he'll be ready to get something that comes the other way. But then I'll be back to transmitting, see, because I've been going to his studio And so when I'm there, and then not only that, he puts music behind it. So, I mean, it sounds like a whole nother world. It's an enhanced transmission, and then he puts music that he decides, and it's like night and day difference. You know, so, yeah. Anyway. Right. Right. Remember, I didn't know anything about it. It came through, and in fact, I went to a taping yesterday. It's called, and then I'm getting off the phone for this, but Luminosity something or other, but just the word itself suggests what it's about. So I have this friend, and she is the one that introduced me to the guy that is the program director of WYEM Dance Chicago, which is what led me to doing this program. So there was another program, I can't think of the name of it, but anyway, it's one of those metaphysical kind of things, and they would tape once a month, and I've been to it a couple of times. That's where I actually met Michael, the guy that's the DJ. So anyway, this woman called and said, you know, you got to come to this other place, and she's the one that said, you got to meet Michael and all this other stuff. So now, recently, she called and she said, well, we are having the first time, and everybody that's there at Luminosity will be a part of the founding group, and da-da-da-da-da. I go, okay, and they're taping. And so anyway, I go there, and as I'm walking from the parking lot into the building, I see a guy that I hadn't seen in probably about, I'm going to say 5 years or so, something like that. And so I was so surprised to see him there. We were headed toward, in the opposite direction, which is to stay facing each other. And, of course, we both were surprised and pleasantly so to see each other. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? And I'm like, half of it. When did all that happen? And so he tells me that a year and a half or two ago, he and a woman co-founded this. And so this is interesting because this guy happens to be the guy that when Ronnie died in whatever, 6 years ago, Ronnie had worked for he retired from an aircraft, Hughes or one of those, I don't know which one, before he got married. But anyway, he had all these tools that were worth some thousands of dollars, but he hadn't used them in his retirement and they were in the storage place, and I could even bulge the chest, which was like five drawers, and he had two chests. So all that stuff needed to be cleared out. Well, I knew nothing about the tools. I wasn't even interested in them. I would love to have had the money, so who in the world was going to sell them? When people came, I wouldn't have any clue what they were, what to call them, what the value was. Plus, I didn't want to be in some storage place because pretty much most of the people that would be coming would be men, and I didn't want to be in no storage place and all this other stuff. So I just said, I'm going to just give them to somebody that I think would appreciate them. And so the person that I gave them to was the person that I ran into yesterday and had 60 years. And I had given him all of Ronnie's tools. And so he's like, you should be, he said, you should be here. How can you get in touch? How can I get in touch with you? I said, I'm here now. You know? And so one of the things, he was giving me a little tour, and their goal is to own the building and to actually have a metaphysical hospital. So they have another building. They don't own this building, but they've got about half dozen offices. So he, I guess you could say, sublet to other practitioners. Another one that I knew, a couple of these people. And so anyway, one of the practitioners has, I forgot what they call it, but anyway, in her office, there was a bed, and and at the end of the bed was a chest with a TV, and it has, I don't say subliminal because you don't need necessarily, you know, they didn't mention anything about earphones, but it's this beautiful scenery. And when you lie on the bed, it vibrates according to the music that's being played that you're actually watching. You're lying on the bed, and so it's coordinated according to if you have some concerns physically for the heart, for diabetes, for all this other stuff. So they can be tailored for whatever your thing was. So he invited me to lie down for a few minutes and, you know, see what that was like. That's not his thing, but it's one of the people. That's his partner's thing. going in. They have some lovely little offices there and all this other stuff. Well, like I said, I hadn't seen this guy for about 5 years or so. And so anyway, I have no idea, but it was nice to run into him, and I was very happy that he has, and he seems very happy that he's moving in the direction that he wants to go in. But he used to come to my Tuesday classes when I taught Exploring Science of the Mind, you know, over at, you know, the Church of Religious Science. So that was interesting, and that was an experience from yesterday. So, yeah. So, no, not starting. Not starting. I cannot diminish what's always been happening. You know, that's more of it coming. Not starting. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, I will see what's going on. I'll go back because they're taping. Now, he's not the one taping, but, you know, he's connected with some of these people, and so we'll see. And one of the women that so we were on the same practitioner staff at the church where I moved my license from. So it's like 6 degrees of separation, you know, basically. Melody is her name. Yeah. Well, maybe. You know, it just depends. But anyway, so that's always nice, but it's not uncommon. You know, that after that happens wherever, you know. So the thing is to be open and receptive and then to take action on these things, you know. Yeah. Well, you used to be in a past life, but that's over now. That's all over now. You're finished with that. Yeah. 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 You're finished with it. So anyway, is Linda still there? Well, I just want to say, because I'm going to get coffee here, and I'm going to fix me a green smoothie and chill out and maybe even put on an old movie, which I like. And despite all the stuff I see around here, I know that between now and tomorrow, I will have everything I need to do by in the morning. Because I'll need to go pick up Alan to bring him over here. And so anyway, all of that, I'm decreeing divine order. And that everything will be put right before my eyes and in my hand, on my computer if necessary. And the same thing with him, so that everything is in divine order when he leaves out of here. And all of the electronic stuff that can be his are connected and transmitted, etc. So, and I'm gonna call my nephew to see if he can do remote viewing of my computer of that Gmail and tell me what the hell is going on that we can, you know, take care of that. Because that's what, yeah. So anyway, I thank you as profusely for your support and being on there. Thank you for inviting somebody else and keep inviting people, keep coming on. You know, what do they say in 12 steps? Keep coming back. Well, are you putting them in a folder by any chance? Well, because remember I told you one of my things is to get all those together, as many of them as possible. So if you would, you know, be so kind as to, you know, sort of not necessarily keep it in mind. But, yeah. Okay, well, let me just check one thing before I get off. Did you send those to hotmail.com, those charts? Okay, hold up. I want to see if they showed up or what's happening. How's Al? And now, what is Ren? How are you spelling it? Oh, that's an abbreviation for Renaissance. Okay, I got you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to go to this Oprah thing. I think, you know, because I know that I'm not, you know, I don't want to wade too far into this thing and let the tickets be gone. And I know that obviously we need to, you know, set aside the initial part, which is to pay for the tickets, and then, I mean, the, you know, the admission into the place. So I'm wondering if we cannot work on that in consciousness and physically support the consciousness by, you know, setting aside, you know, portions at a time so that we can actually purchase those by maybe the end of May. Is that feasible for you? God, don't tell me, Laura. No, she didn't. When Oprah's doing that Have Your Best Life thing now on my birthday in Houston, Texas, and you said you'd be interested in going, and I sent it to you, don't tell me you totally forgot. So you won't be able to go. And during October, well, that's the same time we were at the, no, I'm talking about buying the ticket. Those tickets are probably not going to be available in October. You know, the thing is, the same time we did the Eric Pearl stuff in California, that's the same time that we will be in Houston, and I only chose Houston because it's my birthday, the 17th and 18th of October. But the tickets, and remember, you know, they started at $153, so I don't know if that's the low seat section. You can actually look on the, you can see the chart and, you know, see where that is, but I think that we need to take some active steps, and I intend to, you know, do that. And then the details, because you even, did you not say that you have somebody in Houston? Okay. Okay, well that, oh, okay, maybe that's what you said. But anyway, the first thing would be to get the ticket and then to work out the other thing. And maybe there'll be some other people going. I have no idea that if it would be great if it was four of us, we could even get two rooms or one room with two double beds or however we could do that to share the, yeah, you know, because maybe Raylene would even do that and we would just need one more person, I don't know. But anyway, according to what she's saying, she anticipates having me there before then, you know, to do that housewarming thing for her new building. What is the building that she's purchasing? What is it for? But now, what does the building have a name? The business, does it have a name? Oh, I like that. You know, it's like what I was telling you about Madam C.J. Walker, except that was an early 1900s. And she had that building. It had a movie theater, a drugstore with a pharmacy. It had a beauty shop, a barber shop, a beauty school, a barber school. And all of these things were housed. And we're talking about like 1915, 1920. And the Walker building is still there. It's a historical landmark. But Madam C.J. Walker was African-American, so that was a really, really outstanding. She was a daughter of Blake. You know, so that was, anyway, a really magnificent thing. So I grew up going to the Walker building. And on Saturday at the movie theater, they used to have a 9-cent show for kids. And whenever my mother would let me go, we would go, and that was one of my most fun social hours. I can ever tell you one single movie I saw. It was just a big social time. You couldn't hear a damn thing. All the kids were making noise. And so the kids had to sit upstairs, and the grown folks would sit downstairs. But the kids were just having a ball. And so it would just be a two-hour span from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. You could get in for 9 cents. And so that was our fun, going to the 9 cents show at the Walker Theater on Saturday. And it was every Saturday. Yeah, that was one of my fondest memories of, and I saw recently where her great-granddaughter, I think it is, got some kind of honor or something for, Madam C.J. Walker was considered to be the first millionaire. And it came out of her thing of not being happy that there were no cosmetic hair product or skin product for African Americans. And so anyway, she began to make those and generate them, and it became a business. And that's how I became a beauty school, barbershop, and all that other stuff. So anyway, I grew up with the Walker building, Walker Theater. And so there's a whole lot of love, you know, yeah. Said that, you know, she doesn't have a definite date, but as soon as it's definite, she's going to arrange that. But I would, in addition to the blessing, I would suggest, and I will suggest it to her, I would get a feng shui person. You know, I know a little, but not a lot. But that feng shui is a technique that I used when I wanted to leave the job, that I had been there 13 years, and it seemed like things weren't mobile enough. But anyway, you know, that's what they've had businesses that didn't do well, and time after, you know, business after business, and then somebody comes in, and they're in the same location, because they would say it was a location, but it's never the location. It is always the energy that's inside. And so, you know, when you don't see grass growing up, you know, and it's ground there, not cement, you know, that means that the chi, the energy is down, deep down into the earth. And what they do is bring it up. So when you go in Oriental places, you always see the color red, the chimes. There are certain things that you see. And they're the ones that gave birth to that concept of feng shui. You know, I would get a feng shui person in there and have them do that as well. Because that will just, you know, yeah. So I would put that on the list as well as the blessing. And so maybe I would like, if she would consider it, which I think she would, maybe that can happen while I'm there. I would love that. You know, so could you. You know, if, in other words, you could get some tips, you know, while they're working with her. There's no, I mean, if she wouldn't object to it, I mean, you're not there for that reason, but you can't not be, you know, if you're there and it's going on. You know, it has to generate some ideas about how you can incorporate this yourself with your own business. Why not? Yeah. Yeah. Not because of that, but let's just know that I will bring it up. That a part of what we would do, because also Daibo is a part of that, and she's into Daibo through you. And so, you know, when it thrives for you, it thrives for her, thrives for her, thrives for you. And for the community, that's what it's about. So anyway, I will talk to her about it. And, okay, so thanks again. I'm going to get off of here and chill out. So take care. Have a great evening. Huh? Okay, take care. Uh-huh. You too. Bye-bye. Hey, that thing is not on here, Teresa. That email, I'm sorry, I've been looking at this the whole time I was telling you. See, it should be, because this starts, well, wait a minute, let me go down just a little bit further. Wait a minute. Okay, so now I don't. It should be at the top, but it's not. Because I should see your name in the column on the left, and I should see in the subject area, you know, what it's about, and I'm not seeing any of that. So the other thing is, wait a minute, the other thing is to send it to, you know, if, well, Office D1 on Maryland Parkway, and I don't know that number. But what I'll do is that I'll send you the number for, wait a minute, I can tell you. Hold up. Okay, people, Office Empress 0595. No, that's Office Max. Where the hell is Office Depot? No, send it. I don't know. Just send it to Office Max 0595. No, it's Impress 0595 at OfficeMax.com. That's one of them. Impress and then 0595 at OfficeMax.com. Huh? See, because you took it off of your, did you take it off of your desktop? What did you take it off of? I know, but I mean, did you move it to someplace on, where did you move it to on your computer? It wasn't desktop? Well, I think that they have some kind of way, because see, that's what used to happen with Guy Finley. You know, you couldn't copy his stuff. You know, they have some kind of sensing mechanism or something that doesn't allow you where other people. Now, I did, there was one thing that came from this guy from the Emotion Post, and he invited you to copy, and that one came out. But we may not be able to do it that way. I don't know. So, anyway, we'll see. But that's why I was asking. Okay. Teresa, I just wanted you to know, as soon as I hung up, I decided to stop looking for the email and put your name at the top. So they're here. It just didn't show up in my list. So they are there. Oh. Okay. Okay, well, I will call them. That's a different one. That's a different location. Right. Well, that's good, because 0595 is closer to my house. That, you know, they're different locations. The only thing is that what I didn't explain was I wanted the actual chart, because see, like at Office Depot, I can bring those up, but at Office Max, they won't. So I don't get to do anything. They do it, and they won't go in beyond what's showing up when they click on it, you know, because of that potential. They said that they've had problems with. No, I did. I clicked on it, and so I know it. Yeah. But so what I. Yeah. Right, I saw it. Yeah. So, yeah. And then maybe, did you print those off for yourself? Yeah. Yeah, good. Well, no problem. When you're in the studio one day, we can talk about that. And it seems like I have one more question. What the hell was it? Oh, probably as soon as I hang up, I'll think about it. But anyway, I really would like to chat for a few minutes, so when we both can look at them and, you know, and talk about. Oh, my God, yes. Well, did you start the saving thing for that or no? Don't stay broke. Okay, so let's change it. Okay. Can we... we want to call, yeah. And remember the Neville Goddard thing, to see the end. No, I'm not going to be. Going to be a future. We want present tense. Or it's already, yeah. Not or, it is now. Because remember, the universe has already done what it's going to do. All we have to do is open the space for it. So that's what we have to do. And that's where the language that I was talking about earlier, that's where it's crucial. I know that we don't at the moment know, but we know the knower, and we are connected to the knower, and the knower needs to have the space be released to express. So that's the letting go, like in the frozen. That's how we get frozen into the not having and not being and not doing. And what we want to do is let that ice melt. That's what. Have you seen that movie Frozen yet? Did you say Charles Atlas? Okay, what is that about? What is that about? Now, is this a DVD? Is this a DVD you have? Yeah. Oh, Redbox? Okay. And it's called Cloud Atlas. ATLAS. Okay. Well, I'm going to look for it. And so anyway, but the other thing is play Frozen and then and play it with an eye open for not the other aspect. Because, see, when you're looking at this movie, there are transformations that occur throughout the movie. You know, see, and so the reason why I was reciting, I'm going to go, Marianne Williamson's poem,